Happy Monday. You're listening along to The Last Leg here on WLR with Jordan Norris, our weekly Monday night sports programme, and so much to get through this week. We'll be reflecting on a very, very busy weekend of local soccer and what was ultimately a disappointing night for Waterford FC at Richmond Park. But hopefully it's going to be a very big week for the Blues as they take on Galway United on Friday night. Gary Russell will be popping along to tell us all about his fundraiser for the Solace Cancer Support Centre as he embarks on 80 miles this week with almost €2,000 almost raised. But first, we're going to reflect on this weekend's Waterford Senior Football Championship action as Rathcormac were the first team to book their place in the semi-finals. Yeah, so as I mentioned, a busy weekend just gone in the Waterford Senior Football Championship. Four games played, another two played in midweek as well. So six games in the week just gone. The final two group games left down for decision this Saturday before we find out who has made it straight through to the semi-finals and who will be in the quarter-finals and the relegation playoffs. Rathcormac, of course, were the first team to book their place in the semi-finals as they beat Abbeyside Ballinacorty 2-8-1-7 yesterday. And after the match, Tomás McCarthy caught up with their manager, Kenny Hassett.
Here, Rathcormac manager. Kenny Hassett. Kenny, how would you rate that Rathcormac performance?
We got the win. Performance, of course, there's things to work on. We're happy to win the top of the table. We have a 3-week break now before a semi-final. So plenty of things to work on in those 3 weeks. But look, it's nice to win. It's nice to win.
You got 1-6 in that second half. Kenny, what did you say to the lads at the break?
I think we all knew our first half performance wasn't acceptable. Okay, it was the players more so than what I'd say. They knew themselves. We lifted up in the second half, but look, we knew we had to. You're up against a good side with Ballinacorty, very athletic, some very good footballers on it. Our second half performance was a lot better than our first half, which is unusual because the last 2 weeks it was our first half performances. But the players realised themselves that what happened in the first half wasn't acceptable. They were the ones who spoke and lifted up, and they produced in the second half, in fairness to them.
In which areas did you see improvement in that second period?
We moved the ball that bit quicker. We had runners coming. We didn't have too many runners coming in the first half. You know, we left too much of a space between our full forward line and midfield. Here we had the runners coming. We were able to link the play, and we got in behind them a couple of times. So that was a big improvement. Now, our defending wasn't too bad. I don't know what we restricted Ballinacorty to. It was a 1-6 or 1-7, which is not too bad. But look, that first half performance won't be good enough when we get to a semi-final, because whoever we play, they're going to be well tuned by then, and we need to put two second half performances together.
Speaking of movement and getting in behind teams, how pleased were you with that goal from Stephen Curry?
Yeah, sure. Look, that coach has made a career out of that. You know, he's made a career out of it, in fairness to him. He'll be disappointed himself with some of the things that went on. You know, he wasn't as efficient as he usually is with the ball. But, you know, Stevie's always a threat in there close to goal. His movement is excellent. He can go both ways as well, which is a big help. But look, like Stevie, like the rest of us, you know, he needs to improve. He needs to get better as well.
How important is it to qualify automatically for the semi-finals and get that 3-week break?
It's important because we're like the walking wounded at the moment. Our busiest man is our physio, Stephen Flynn. There was a list as long as my arm going into him beforehand and whatever. So, you know, it'll give us a chance to get dead legs and little pulls, just get them to recover. Because when you're playing week on week, like, we're no different to your Ballinacortys or your Nyers or Kilrossies. You know, we had hurling right up as well with the lads, and they're playing week on week. And, you know, it's nice to give him a chance to recharge the batteries and give him a chance to go again.
How much of a difference did Willie Hassey make when he came on the field?
Willie played well. He did, in fair. You know, Willie makes the ground. You know, he covers the ground. He's been carrying a knock as well. So a couple of weeks rest won't do him any harm either. But look, he's a captain, and he leads by his actions, in fairness to him.
Any prospect of seeing Billy Power before the championship is over? Kenny, I believe he's teaching abroad at the moment.
Who knows, Swass? Who knows? I'll be chatting to him. We'll see if we can work something. If not, look, we'd love to have had him for a couple of these games. We didn't. But you never know. We'll never have time to tell.
Alan Dunwoody kicked 6 points and Padraig Fitzgerald shot 1-3 as the green and gold of Kilrossenty booked their place in the quarterfinals with a 120-1-6 win against the Bricky Rangers yesterday. And Tomás McCarthy caught up with their manager, Ronan Power.
Ronan, what did you like about that Kilrossenty display today?
Sure, look, I suppose, in fairness, they got out of them what we thought was in them. And I suppose the previous two games were tough. They were hard, obviously playing some of the best teams in the county, being Rathcormac and Ballinacorty. So it was a good stepping stone for this game. We knew this probably was going to come down to this game anyway, to secure number one, our place in the championship going forward, and number two, our senior status. So we were working for this game.
How hard was it to lift the players after the way the county junior hurling final went?
It's never easy. It's never easy, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? You'd feel sorry for a lot of the players. And I suppose, look, even the way the year goes, they're hurling right up until the county final. They have a week break, and then they have to try and lift themselves for senior football, which is a big step up. And I suppose it's hard for us to try and get to the pace of football. Ballinacorty showed us that in the first game, and of course, Rackarmack in the second game. So, look, at every week they'll be improving. Every week they'll be getting better. They'll be getting that bit fitter. So, look, as a management team, we were happy enough with the performance of them today.
How much of a lift does it give the group to see Paul White tugging out again at full forward?
Asher, look, it's great. It gives everyone a lift. You know what I mean? To have some of his experience to call on, you know, to bring on to the panel. He's great around the team. You know what I mean? He's great around the dressing room with the lads. Great, loads of experience. So it's super to have him.
How good was Alan Dunwoody today?
He was very good. Look, at I suppose we were playing him away from goal the last two games, but look, at that's where he was playing today is his forte. And look, at you know, he has that ability. Even see some of the games he played with Waterford this year, you know, when he gets the ball, he's certainly a tournament for any back.
Galtier were 10 points to 8 point winners against the Nair at the Dungarvan GA grounds yesterday, and that sets up a mouth-watering clash now between Galtier and Roanmore. Roanmore, of course, picking up their first ever victory in senior football on Saturday with a 1-8 to 6 point win against On Ryan. The Nair had a busy time of it, 3 games in 9 days, while for On Ryan it was 3 games in 8 days. The Nair beat On Ryan in what was arguably the game of the championship at Fraher Field on Wednesday night. Tomás McCarthy caught up with their manager Derek Lyons afterwards, and he was full of praise for their star man Conor Gleeson.
Yeah, delighted with Conor. Look, I mean, he's had a really difficult year. Like, people would know, like, Conor's struggling with a back injury with 12 months, like, you know. And any day he comes out for us now is a bonus at the moment. And we'll have to maybe look at it now for the weekend. He's played a full game here, and he played 20 minutes again last weekend. So we might have to look at that. But the other bonus for us tonight is to get Aaron Ryan back into the pitch now. And look, fella that had a bad concussion a month or two ago. And look, he's gone through all the protocols and got the clearance and mapped the play. So we got him in for 10 minutes.
Lyons also praised the commitment of many of his players who were travelling some seriously long distances to play 3 games in just 9 days.
So we've 1 in Dublin, we've 2 in three in Limerick, and there's 2 down in Cork. So like that's 6 lads, 6 of 6 lads are on the road now tonight, and then back down again on Friday. Like, you know, I mean, you just, as I said to you last week, I don't think you could write it if you set it out your stall to do it properly. Like, to be fair, look, less said the better now I say on it, but yeah, we'd like to think that lads would be respected a little bit more than that. Like, you know, and you have to think about player welfare. It's not even about the recovery, it's about getting in cars and heading back up roads at night time and stuff after playing a match. And yeah, look, I mean, again, we spoke about that last week. I'm not going to dwell on it. It is what it is now. We just have to do a massive recovery between now and Sunday. I mean, we obviously the lads will be on a recovery. Some of those lads now are getting in cars and driving back to Dublin. Other lads to Limerick and other lads down to Cork. And now, like, it's 9 o'clock at night. So that's what they're dealing with, so they'll have to manage that tonight. We'll get back together probably and do a light session on Friday night. We're very appreciative to Galtier for allowing the game to change from Saturday to Sunday. To be fair to them, I want to acknowledge that. Galtier, they could have said no.
Thankfully, they didn't say no. And of course, the fixture schedule argument really, really prominent throughout the course of this weekend's championship. But just the 2 games down for the decision this Saturday, starting at 2 o'clock at Welsh Park. It is Galtier versus Roanmore. Of course, a big game in that group. And then it is the meeting of Clashmore, Kinsale, Beg and the Nair at 5:30. Last games of the group phase, the draws for the knockouts to follow. We will have updates on air here on WLR. Just to have a look at the group picture. Obviously, as I mentioned, Rathcormac are through to the county semi-finals as the winners of Group B. We'll touch on Group B in a moment. In Group A, you have Clashmore, Kinsale, Beg, Galtier and the Nair all locked together on 4 points. Clashmore, Kinsale, Beg on top, Galtier second, the Nair third. Then you have Roanmore and On Ryan locked at 2 points apiece. On Ryan have played their 4 games. They have no opportunity to pick up more points. So that's what makes these games at the weekend particularly poignant, all to play for in Group A, while the fixtures are all finished in Group B. In Group B, Rathcormac topped the table with 3 wins out of 3 and a points difference of 38 as well. A very impressive showing from Kenny Hassett's side in the group as they look to retain the Conway Cup. Abbeyside, Ballinacorty in 2nd, Kilrossenty in 3rd. They've booked their place in the quarterfinals, and the Bricky Rangers are headed for the relegation playoffs as they lost out in their 3 games. Plenty to play for this weekend. We'll have it all here on WLR. Stay with us, because after the break, we're going to be joined by Carrick man, Gary Russell. The Sullis Run and Walk for Life is on the horizon. But before that, this Monday, there's a man from Carrick who's going to undertake a serious challenge. Gary Russell is running 16 miles every day for 5 days, starting from Monday, September 23rd. Gary joins me now on the line. Gary, first of all, must say hats off to you. It's an unreal thing that you're doing. I imagine there's a bit of nervous excitement for it. It's, I know you're well accustomed to running long distances and that as well, but yeah, it's definitely going to be difficult.
Oh yeah, look, as I say, I'm under no illusions that it will be tough. But I've started training in April. I've 5 months training done, covered close to, well, just over 685 miles, 686 miles in total running since April. So yeah, I've all the hard work done. So now it's just a case of waiting. And I'm not, as I say, aren't blessed with patience. And I mean, I can vouch for that, because sooner, if I could get it started now, I would. But I'm looking forward to Monday now. It's a great cause that I'm able to fundraise for. So yeah, it's roll on Monday morning.
Absolutely. Some mileage in the legs you've just said there. That's unbelievable. Tell me, what is it about the Sullis Cancer Support Centre that means so much to you, and why is it you've chosen to do this for them, Gary?
I'll be honest with you. There's a woman I used to travel down with in work, Nellie, Mary Fitzgerald, we call her Nellie. But she's beaten breast cancer. And there's an ex-team leader. When I used to work in ASHEC, there was one of the team leads in there, April Brophy. Her mam is battling cancer at the moment. And Nellie has beaten breast cancer. Bernadette is still battling cancer. And when you hear people telling you stories about, unfortunately, they might have lost loved ones, or loved ones who might be going through cancer treatment, and you'd be thinking, I have to do something. Irregardless of how small it is, I have to do something. So it's not kind of a no-brainer. It is a no-brainer. Do something you love, and then you can fundraise for them. So I thought, yeah, how can you fundraise for them? I should just keep running. So that's what I'll be doing.
And there's a good level of support behind you, obviously, in the community in Carrick. I know you've always been heavily involved in Carrick United, and you know, inside in the sports circles in Carrick as well. So good momentum and good support from all the lads in the community to get you over the line.
It's great. Like, what I'll be doing is, for each of the days, on the Monday, I'll be wearing a Carrick Swan jersey. In memory of the past members who have unfortunately passed away due to cancer or might be going through cancer treatment. The Tuesday, it'll be St. Mullern's, and Tuesday, Carrick Davins, Wednesday is St. Mullern's. And on the Thursday, as everyone knows, I'm a Tipperary man. So on the Thursday, I'll be wearing a Waterford jersey, signed by Austin Gleeson. So I have to give a shout out to one of my good pals in work, Willie. He got his Austin Gleeson to sign it for me. So I'll be wearing that on the Thursday. And on the Friday then, I'll be wearing the Sullis orange T-shirt. So, look, it's nice to be able to do something for a great charity like that, you know.
Unbelievable, yeah. And like, just for people that don't know, I know I've spoken to you before when you've undertaken things like this before. Like, you're no stranger to doing things to fundraise for charity in the past, Gary.
Yeah, I started in when I turned 40. When COVID was kicking off, you know. So I done it for the theatre house. I done 40k from my 40th, and I thought, you know, I got bitten by the bug, and I was like, yeah, I'd keep going with this if I can. And I just have it wrote down here, Jordan, if you don't mind. In 2021, so for the Sullis Centre, since I started fundraising for them in 2021, I ran a full marathon in 2021, 5 half marathons and 5 days the year after. And the year after that, then the Dublin Marathon in 2023. So that's 4.5 marathons and since 2021 for just fundraising for the Sullis Centre. And if you count in when I finish, it's not a question of if I finish next week, when I finish the fundraiser next week, it'll be 7.5 marathons I've ran since I turned 40. So I think I'm proud of myself for that. And fundraising, most importantly, for the great charity. But if someone had said to me I'd be ran that many marathons since when I turned 40, I would have laughed them out of the building, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, Gary, but you're rightfully proud of yourself. Like, that's an unbelievable achievement, because you have to push yourself so much from both a physical and a mental perspective to do that as well. And you just said to me, I love your attitude towards it, because you just said to me before we came on here, you've sat down with the staff in the Solace Centre and you've told them, until your legs fall off, you'll do whatever you can for them.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer, because I'm sure there's people, it's not that I'm sure, I know there's people who'd love to be in my position. Well, probably not running all that mileage, but just being able to get out into the fresh air and exercise, but because they're battling cancer, they can't live life fully, you know. And I'm not saying they're not living life, but they can't live life as they'd like to, you know. So it's not that I'm not comparing, like, the pain, like the sore legs, whatever, that what them people are going through. But if what I'm doing can help one person, one family, I mean, yeah, it's a given, you know. So I'll do everything I can to fundraise. Well, it's not I will be doing everything I can to fundraise for foreseeable future.
Absolutely. I think you made a good point there a minute ago as well, because I ran it for the first time last year myself, and I kind of feel like there's a real strength in numbers with the Solace Run. Like, you know, it really feels like you're part of a community when you're involved, and you go over to the Solace Centre, you see all the hard work that the likes of Tracy and Anne-Marie and everybody puts in. And like, everybody has a story, don't they, Gary? Like, we all have somebody in our minds that we're doing it for.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no person that has been directly or indirectly affected by cancer, because everyone knows someone who unfortunately might have passed away or might be going through cancer treatment, or they, as I say, family member. But look, in an ideal world, there'll be no cancer, none of this, but unfortunately there is. And if by doing this and by meeting this, or any person fundraising, I mean, it can only be a great thing, you know. So I'll be doing everything I can for him, as I say to you, for the foreseeable future, Jordan. So, yeah.
Amazing
I'm
stuff.
Looking forward to rolling one day.
And just to go back to the running itself, so you're getting up out of the bed bright and early every morning, and I imagine you'll be running around Carrick, is that it?
Yeah, well, it's start. I have the routes sorted for the thing for next week when I start. But when I was training, there was mornings where head off at about 4:20, 4:30 in the morning. The latest I think I ever went was, I think it was one morning I came home from work and I went off at 10:30 and done 11 o'clock. So after doing about a 12-hour shift in work. But because I say to you, back to the same thing again, I'm not complaining. You do it, you're training for doing it. You know what the end goal is. You're fundraising for the charity. So you just suck it up and just keep going, you know, drive on.
Definitely, yeah. And just for our listeners that don't know, Gary, for anybody that wants to donate to the cause, and obviously we massively encourage them to do so as the media partners here in WLR for the Solace Run and Walk for Life, how do people actually find your fundraiser?
It's I've on Facebook and Instagram. So on Facebook, it's under my Facebook page, Gary Russell, and they'll see that there's a picture of me standing outside the Solace Centre. And before anyone says that, and it's not an Arsenal jersey, it's a Benfica jersey. So I'll just get that off the bat straight away. So I'm standing outside the Solace Centre, and this with in just the profile picture. And on Instagram, then it's at Gary Russell 29, and it's what I've been doing when I've been training. I've been posting, say, right on week 12 or whatever it is, so I've been posting the link. So the link to fundraise is on my Facebook page, which is look for Gary Russell, and then on Instagram it's at Gary Russell 29. So yeah, I mean it's looking forward now. I think it's 3 days. Three days and a number of hours till Monday morning, I'll be out the door.
Absolutely. Well, look, I don't doubt that you'll fly it. I know that you're more than able for it, because you have the exact right mindset for it as well, Gary. And I can't say enough to people, get out, donate, support, because, you know, it's a wonderful undertaking that you're doing, and it's a wonderful cause that you're supporting. And the most important thing, Gary, I think that we need to drive home as well, is this money will all come back into helping people in the local communities down here in Waterford and Tip.
That's the main, that's the driver behind it. It's not like, I don't know, it's going to the centre down in Waterford. And I mean, unfortunately, everyone knows someone that might be going through cancer treatment, or might be availing of the services offered by the Solace Centre. So, I mean, it's... I'd recommend people to read up about the centre and just donate anything at all if you can. And if they would, it'd be very much appreciated. All donations would be greatly appreciated by myself and even going to the centre itself.
100%. Well, Gary Russell, no doubt I'll catch up with you when it's all over, and I wish you the very best of luck with everything. As I said, get out and support Gary, support the Solus Run and Walk for Life, the Solus Cancer Support Centre. Gary, hats off to you. Absolutely amazing stuff. Delighted for you, and I know that you'll give it your best shot. So thanks again for your time, and I wish you the very best of luck with everything.
No bother at all. Jordan, thanks a million for everything.
Gary Russell there, and well done to Gary. He was up bright and early this morning out and about and got his 16 kilometres done, outrunning for over 2.5 hours. So fair play to the man. He's a man of his word for definite. And just a word on this year's Solus Run and Walk for Life. We at WLR are, of course, the proud media partners once again. The 16th year, we're in Dungarvan on Saturday, October 12th, and Waterford on Sunday, October 13th. The first T-shirt packs have gone out. Over 1,200 T-shirts have been posted. Lots of feedback in from some very, very excited participants. If you haven't already registered, you can make sure to do so soon to guarantee your T-shirt and your vest size. €25 per adult and €15 for under 18s. That includes an event T-shirt and the 2024 medal. Solus are looking for people to help on the route, so if you have 2 hours to spare on Saturday the 12th of October or Sunday the 13th to help with either Dungarvan or Waterford routes, please call the Solus Cancer Support Centre on 051 304 604. They'd be thrilled to hear from you. Everybody in the Solus Cancer Support Centre doing some incredible, incredible work. The likes of Tracy and Anne-Marie, John Keane working really hard on the WLR side this year as well. So hopefully it is the biggest and best year yet. Back after the break to talk all things soccer. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Leg here on WLR with Jordan Norris. Now we're going to talk all things soccer and a disappointing result on Friday night just gone for Waterford FC, a 3-0 loss away to St. Patrick's Athletic. But I suppose that doesn't really tell the full picture, because the performance was definitely not emphasised in what happened on the scoreboard. And after the match, Ray Scott caught up with the Blues assistant manager Matt Lawler.
Matt Lawler, on paper 3-0 sounds like a bad defeat for the Blues, but it really wasn't.
No, I totally agree. We've just said in there that moments really, really hurt you, and obviously they do. The fans were unbelievable tonight. Give us a massive clap off. I don't think they do that after a performance like that if they don't believe that we've done well. I think if you look at the stats, you look at the feel of the game and how you felt, we've kept them in their half for majority of the second half. First half, there was large spells where we were fantastic. But moments really hurt us. We need to start being more defensively responsible, more defensively minded in terms of, like, that's your job. You need to keep clean sheets. We haven't kept a clean sheet since the last time we played these at the RSC. That's not us. That's not good enough. It's not something that we go out to do. We're not a reckless team. We need to be better in moments. You think about the moments that make us go 2-0 down as two goals that are so preventable that it ultimately looked like 3-0 on paper. But I'm telling you now, no fluff, no rubbish. That was a good team performance tonight. That was proper. They'll go into a changing room tonight. St. Pat's has an amazing management staff, a brilliant team, brilliant squad, a brilliant club. And go, gee, they were good Waterford. And I truly believe that in my heart, that they'll genuinely go and do that.
I thought the lads showed a lot of character, you know, particularly after the first goal. They came back out, and Pat's got punished, as you said, for a loose moment for the second goal. But just before the opening goal, there was a penalty shout. I don't know what you thought of it, or have you had a chance to look at it. But from that, at the other end, you go goal down.
Yeah, well, if you think about both goals, we have a moment where it could be a penalty, could not. A minute later, 1-0. Then we have a chance with Podge. My keeper makes a really good save. And then a minute later, it's 2-0. So they've took their chances. We haven't. We've gifted them chances. They haven't. But if you look at the game as a whole, possession-wise, we're really good. We looked really controlled tonight. We kept them pinned in their half. They had to change shape. They've changed shape. You've made a team at their home ground change shape to take the sting out of the game because we're on top. And again, it's not fluff. It's not nonsense. That it's genuine. It's what the manager's just said in the changing room. We need to tighten up. We need to be a lot harder to beat. And moments do kill us, but it was a good performance again.
And again, you came out after the second half. It was obviously going to be the next goal. It was going to be the crucial one, but you really took the game to them in the second period.
Yeah, I thought we did as well. Like, they were dropping off, they were pinned in. We had loads of ball. Macca and Bagley were brilliant again. But it's for us. We just now need to create momentum into goals and keep flipping clean sheets, because if we don't keep clean sheets, you're not giving yourself a platform to go and build, and you have to obviously score more than one goal to get a win like we did against Dundalk last week. So we need to get clean sheets. We need to get back to the basics of keeping clean sheets whilst maintaining that control, emphasis on forward play and having chances, which we had tonight.
When you look at the way the other results have gone tonight, you know, it really has tightened everything up, doesn't it? But like, that European dream is still there.
Yeah, whilst it's still there, we're still going. We have to believe it. The lads believe it in there, I think. Obviously, there's a dejected changing room in terms of atmosphere and feel. But like the manager's just said in there, that you do not get clapped off by your fans the way that they did if it was off a poor performance. They know it was a good performance. Result is, on paper, rubbish, and in reality, rubbish. 3-0 is not a scoreline we ever want to repeat. But I'm telling you, that performance will lead to a miles better chance of us getting results, and there's 5 cup finals left. I know it's a bit cheesy, a bit corny that we've been saying it, but I'm telling you, 5 flipping games. We've got obviously a rest next week, I think.
You've
Galway next week, sorry, then a rest. So in the next 6 weeks, we've got 5 games. So whilst we're here, like you said, it's tightened up, but so what? We're going to go for it.
You have to now look forward to that Galway game. And you know, you talk about a cup final, the game against Galway is almost like a European cup final, isn't it? It's so, so important.
Yeah, it's a team that we've always struggled against as well, Galway. Like, obviously, prior to me coming, myself, like obviously, last year, and obviously the history of last year, both teams getting promoted and whatnot. For me, for everyone. So let's make the RSC packed out. Let's make it absolutely raucous, and let's make it a horrible place to come, because that's all Galway do. That's what they're amazing at. We need to match that. Keep a clean sheet, perform like we have done tonight, and it'll give us a miles better chance, because we need to start. We need to obviously get back to winning ways ASAP.
Ray Scott and Matt Lawler there, and of course a massive game for Waterford FC this coming Friday night at the RSC. It is Waterford FC versus Galway United, 7:45 p.m. League of Ireland Premier Division Soccer. A massive, massive game for Waterford in the race for European football. You've heard from Matt Lawler there. 5 cup finals left. Call it cliche, call it whatever you want. It's the truth. Hopefully there's a massive, massive home crowd gets down and supports Waterford FC. The last night at home against Dundalk, it was 2,200. Let's push that number back towards 3,000. Let's try and get everybody behind the club now for the next few weeks. A big, big push, because it's been a brilliant season. Let's hope we can finish it on a high. Just having a look at the local soccer results at the weekend, an FAI Junior Cup weekend just gone, and plenty of goals to report. Dungarvan United were responsible for most of them. They hit Johnville for 10. They won 10-3 on Saturday night. Gary Donnelly scored 4. Scott Collins and Ronan Uniacke grabbed 2 apiece. Shea Cotter and Michael Kiley were also on target. Tycor beat Ferrybank by 1-0. Ramon Balogun's strike was enough to send them through to the next round. Yesterday morning, Portlaw United defeated St. Joseph's 5-2. A hat-trick from Sam Croke, very important in that one. And Southend United claimed a Premier Division scalp. They defeated Waterford Crystal on penalties, with the game having finished 2-2 after 90 minutes. And of course, in the Waterford Premier League on Friday night, a 6-0 win for Villa against Bohemians. They're still foot-perfect at the top of the table. They haven't even as much as conceded a goal, if I'm not mistaken. So Conor Coad's side are still definitely the ones to catch, as is often the case. Moving to women's soccer momentarily, and Benfica have won the Waterford Women's League after winning 9 out of their 10 games, and I recently caught up with their captain. That is none other than Lisa Mousey-Dower. Benfica have won the Waterford Women's League. It's their first title since 2015, and it was bookended with a 4-0 win against Villa. And I'm delighted to say I am joined on the line by their captain, which is none other than Lisa Mousey-Dower. Lisa, first of all, massive congrats to you and everyone at Benfica. Brilliant to get another title on the board. A brilliant season all round, and I suppose kind of a perfect way to cap it off.
Definitely nice to finish off with a win. So 9 wins out of 10 matches, not too bad.
No, there's certainly nothing wrong with that at all. And like, the standard of soccer in Waterford in particular, Lisa, it's so high at the moment. Like, you have so many good teams in the league. So to win 9 out of 10 games, as you said there, like, that's testament to just how difficult it is in itself, like, because you're never guaranteed to win in any game.
No, it's like the league is getting so competitive now, like with all the young teams coming through and stuff. So it's good, yeah.
Dungarvan, obviously, I suppose, have been the big rival in recent years. They had a bit of a grip on the trophy in the last few years, and that's been a real rivalry to keep an eye on in the last few years. So to kind of get one over them, I imagine it's a little bit sweet too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Coming second to Dungarvan now for the past few years, so it's nice to take the trophy for, hopefully, for this year anyway.
Definitely.
See how it goes next year.
And just a word as well, Lisa, on the management and all the people in the club that I suppose give their time, but because success like this, like it doesn't happen without the volunteers within the clubs as well, does it?
No, not at all. Owen and Mick there this year, they do put in a lot of commitment with us, to be fair to them, and the girls as well, like turning up to training and matches every week. It's tough. Like, we have a few players coming from outside of Waterford. Like, we have four coming from Wexford. There's another one from Carrick after coming in with us. So there's a lot of them that are doing travelling and they turn up every week. So yeah, it's good commitment from the players. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and you had a good season on a national front as well, if I'm not wrong as well, Lisa. Like, you went fairly far on a national front too.
Yeah, we got as far as the Munster final this year. We're unlucky to miss out on that with a 1-0 loss, but hopefully we'll be able to enter and go for it again next year and keep it up, keep it going.
Definitely, yeah. And like I said there, like, you know, you mentioned you have players coming from everywhere. You have kind of young players like that coming through as well. And that's always important because you need that blend of the more experienced players and the younger players. And that kind of gives you a good motivation to know that, like, when things go on in the future, there'll be those players that will become the experienced players themselves in time. Like, it's a great motivating factor when you're a young player to win something like a league title.
Yeah, definitely. Like, unfortunately, Benfica don't have a schoolgirls this, like, last few years. So we kind of do struggle to get young players in through, but there's a few teams out there that didn't have women's teams, and the younger players from them that are kind of gone over the age have come in, and it's great to have younger players coming in from outside the club as well, that they can kind of, they have somewhere to go. But teams are getting so big now this year, like, all the clubs are growing, so we'll have to try sort that out, because eventually we'll miss out on younger players coming through.
We'll leave it there for this week. Thank you very much for listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris here on WLR. Plenty of sport on the horizon this week. Lorna Parker with Tomás McCarthy, all the GAA action this coming Friday. The Saturday Sports Pod with Tony Kelly, 3 to 6 every Saturday. All the best music and all your sports updates as they happen. It's going to be a very, very big week for Waterford FC. They're playing Galway United on Friday night. Everybody get out to the RSC, support the Blues. I'll be here for WLR doing updates live from that game, hopefully reporting on 3 points next time you hear me. John O'Shea is on the way with some fantastic music. Have a lovely rest of the week. I've been Jordan Norris. Thank you very much for listening.